Father, what a great reminder. When things are going our way and under our own steam, I think we shove you aside too often. But when you come on like a rushing wind, when our emotions come in like a raging storm, we surrender to your will. And that's where we always need to be, in good times and in bad, in scary and in non-scary times. We are yours. We want to live in unity. Help us learn those words today and always. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't want to step on the beautiful cornucopia. Isn't this a nice, what they did? Isn't this beautiful? I don't even want to get in the way of it, but I have to because I got to be here. I remember there's a time when I was in high school that I really wanted to make sure that people knew I was a Christian. I wanted to be a Jesus freak. The Jesus movement, I don't know if you remember this, in the late 60s, early 70s, it was a change in the religious landscape, involved a lot of hippie culture, a lot of countercultural social upheaval in the youth of the nation at that time. There was a lot of things going on during that time with a president who did some questionable things and with a war that was raging. And so there was a lot of stuff going on for that two decades. There was just a lot of stuff going on. And it was a time of protest and uncertainty and rebellion against society. And you might remember that time. And if you don't remember that time, there's a movie that came out last year called Jesus Revolution. It really depicts the story of how that started. And it's quite fascinating. Now, admittedly, frankly, the teenager in me liked the countercultural part of the movement more than the Jesus saving grace part of the movement. But I wanted people to know that I was countercultural. You know, I know that I'm not the only person to make the mistake of being loud about being a Christian and not actually living like one. Maybe you know somebody like that. I don't know. In some ways, what I was trying to do was a tiny bit similar to what was going on in the churches of Galatia. And we've been studying these for the past weeks. And we're introduced to a group called the Judaizers. And the Judaizers were trying to promote symbols of faith over the heart transformation that Jesus made possible. With the Judaizers, they weren't wrong, but they added stuff. And that made it wrong. It was Jesus plus whatever. Paul was so furious because he knew that this was a threat to the true gospel. This got him going. This made him angry. I think it's important for every one of us to recognize the ways we can fall into centering our faith on alternate gospels as well. So, we saw that in week two, even Peter, the friend of Jesus, was susceptible to this. So if he is, we definitely are, right? We're in week five of our series called Undivided. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. You'll notice that you have a new addition to your pews or blue Bibles. If you open it up, you will be amazed that there could be a font that small. And as Phil has just picked up an example, there are more magnifying glasses on their way. So you've got Phil and Scott in our chair. You have the lucky ones that have the magnifiers. But you can also grab the red ones if you want. But anyhow, and you don't have to do that because I'm going to put them up on the screen in a much larger font. Much larger font. But chapter 5 is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to learn about what Paul is writing to the church. He says in Galatians 5:6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith." That's everything in a nutshell, right? Right? In contrast with the people who are trying to shift the Galatian church back towards living under the law, Paul's saying that really it's all about salvation through faith. Well, that's how we sometimes talk about it. That's what we would like to say. But I cheated a little bit. This is actually the verse in full. The only thing that counts is faith, expressing itself through love. Are the people we encounter in our lives, our friends, our family members, our roommates, our co-workers, the stranger behind the customer service desk, experiencing our faith through the way we show love to them? Let me put it another way. Do they know that you're a Christian because you proclaim you're a Christian? It's like that old hymn, they will know we are Christians by our bumper stickers. That's not right. They will know we are Christians by what we post on social media. No, wait. They'll know we're Christians by the signs they put in my yard. Nope. In high school, I thought, they'll know I'm a Christian by my Jesus fish. That would be so much easier. But the old hymn, based on the words of Jesus, is they will know we are Christians by our... Yeah, exactly. It sounds really beautiful. But, well, wouldn't it be easier if we just chopped that verse, the verse at faith? It sounds more doable. Things would be so much easier if it just simply had to simply law versus faith. It's only what we believed with our minds, right? I believe that Jesus is my Savior. Here are all my doctrinal beliefs. I adhere to a Wesleyan theology. Here's who I believe God is and what God's kingdom is like. Here's what I believe about this set of issues. That's great. I'm not saying that's not important, but it's only half the story. Paul is saying of all that stuff we say that we believe has to be lived out. And not just lived out. Because there's a way we could live out what we believe that does not reflect the love of God, right? I'm guessing that many in this room have had experience with faith being expressed in a loveless way. And it's sad. So Paul is saying that it's faith that matters, but it has to be lived out. And not just lived out, but lived out in love. I don't think this is really a huge surprise, shocking surprise for you who are attending or watching a church service. I hope it's not. But the whole reason that Paul had to write this passionate, angry letter to early on in the beginning of the church. And the reason that we've been preaching from it for nearly 2,000 years since that time is that we as people keep falling into the same trap of holding up the symbols of our faith in Jesus instead of living it out in love. Now, why is that? Well, we could make a list of reasons. But I think it's going to be more interesting to check back into Galatians 5 because Paul is building on himself and he's going to get us to a very insightful place. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Okay. Paul summarizes some of what he's been saying earlier in the letter here, right? Christ has made you free from the law. We've talked about this before. Our cultural idea of freedom is very different from the kind of freedom Jesus gives us. Our freedom is shaped by the love of Christ that we are living out. Our freedom is cross-shaped, right? It doesn't mean I can do whatever I want because I know God will forgive me for it. Paul says our freedom doesn't mean indulging in the flesh. Now, that's not wording we use every day or any day, is it, right? Let's grab a different translation for that, some clarity. And this is from the New Living Translation. But don't use freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Okay, I get it now. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. And now it's as if Paul turns and looks into the camera, just like actors on The Office. Remember when they break that fourth wall? Looking straight at us with the next two sentences. Here he goes, right, looking right at you. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Whoa, it does not get any clearer than that. He puts a fine point on it. We don't have to go to the Greek. We don't have to do a cultural context study to figure out what that means. The whole of the law that's been the hot topic of the Galatians so far, all of it is fulfilled by obeying one command, and that one command is love your neighbor as yourself. Wow, that is so simple, right? Meanwhile, biting and devouring each other is the approach of the day. We might think we're winning by lashing out with the crudest or cleverest meme, the biggest own, Paul says there's one outcome to this. You're going to destroy each other. I've seen Christians in this season absolutely ruin their witness to the love of Christ by posting terrible things at the expense of really sticking it to the other side on social media. For what? For the likes? For that one satisfying thrill that we get when we hit post? I shudder to think what Paul would say to us today. We shouldn't be so proud of ourselves that we wouldn't hear the words, "Oh, you foolish Americans." Just like he said, "Oh, you foolish Galatians." Paul continues, and now we're getting into the nitty-gritty. He's getting more specific about what he means when he talks about faith expressing itself in love. First, he's going to tell us that what it doesn't look like. So, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. You think I'm done? Or he's done? No, he is not. Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Whoa. I wonder how long she can come up with that list. That's a list, isn't it? And let me point out that there should be at least one thing on that list that every one of us are personally convicted by. The intent of a list like this is for us to look inward at our own hearts. But what has often happened is we try to chop off these verses after the first three. We'd love to edit it like I did the first verse at the beginning. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. End of list. That's it. Thank you. I can avoid all of those. That's not a problem. When was the last time you saw a video clip of a pastor preaching against selfish ambition or jealousy or hatred or fits of rage or discord, dissensions, envy, maybe drunkenness? Because visible signs get the brunt of our concern. Why? Well, to borrow a word from Paul, they're obvious. But Paul says all of these that he's listed here should be obvious. There's no hierarchy here. Sexual immorality and selfish ambition, idolatry and hatred, sexual impurity and envy, fits of rage and jealousy are all just, they're all on the list. These are all desires of the flesh. Here's the truth about our lives that we might not love to consider. What's going on in here is not as invisible as we'd like to think. We can hide behind our image. We can hide behind our Christian t-shirts and our social media posts. We can even hide behind how much we come to church and how active we are in church things. But Paul says, what's in your heart will come out. And what you say to other people, and what you say about other people, in your envy, and in your ambition, and in your rage, in how you treat people, whether that's people in your family, your co-workers, or the person standing behind the customer service desk. And in this season, people you disagree with are some that you have to weigh how you treat them. People on the opposite side from you. All of it is truly in your heart comes out. What does it look like if we walk by the Spirit and don't give in to the desires of the flesh? Well, these are the most beautiful words you'll ever see in your life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. I've taken on saying these words every night. I use patience and not forbearance, just because I'm not from the Middle Ages. Patience I get. I don't even know what forbearance is. I'm guessing it's patience. But anyway, I list this in my head every night. I want the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in the way I live my life. And boy, are there times when it's not. And I've brought up customer service people more than once today for a reason. They have been the victims of my rage. Maybe not rage, but certainly not Christian. Okay? So that's why I say these words every night, just to... Oh, yeah, and against such things there is no law. There's no law against any of these things, right? There's two extremely different lists of fruit, night and day. There's a trap we can fall into because we would so much rather this be a litmus test for us to use on other people, right? But this has to be about ourselves first, or it's not going to work. This is why Christianity has to be so much more than simply, if you believe this, you'll go to heaven, the end. Where's the transformation? Where's the change in your heart? Where's the proof that the Holy Spirit lives in us? Right up there, that's where the proof is. Where's the evidence that everything that Jesus said is actually true? Our lives have to bear this out, or the whole thing rings false. People are listening to you. Our ability to navigate conflict in this faith community, in our congregation, in our small groups, in our support groups, on our serving teams, in our friendships with one another, depends on every single one of us seeking to keep in step and live by the Spirit. Here's one that still makes me uncomfortable. I'm going to say this. How many of you remember in school working on a group project? See, doesn't that give you the creeps? Yeah. There's always seems to be one person on every single group project, whether it's middle school, high school, or college, who was off in la-la land. It has such an impact on the entire project, doesn't it? And you all say, what are we going to do? He's got this part he's supposed to be doing. And I'm making it a he. It could be a she. Usually not. which is why many of us have learned to hate a group project. I got to hate to break this to you, but this is a group project. We heard last week about being adopted into the family, of our identity as co-heirs with all of our brothers and sisters. What this means is there aren't any only children in the family of God. We need each other. The health and flourishing of this expression of the body of Christ depends on every one of us taking this seriously. Not on every one of us being perfect. Not on every one of us ever doubting or struggling. Not on every one of us striving to have it all together. But on every one of us expressing our faith through love, living life by walking with the Holy Spirit, of paying attention to the fruit of our lives. The fruit of our lives are bearing and not shrugging off when we see fits of rage or selfish ambition or burning jealousies in our lives. For too long, people proclaiming the name of Jesus have moved through this world bearing more of the fruit on the flesh list than the spirit list. And then we wonder why young people are exiting the church in such large numbers. And then we wonder why the world doesn't believe we're for real. Because faith lived out without love is a menace. Faith lived out without love is just more laws and rules and regulations. It matters that you walk by the Spirit. Because this is a group project, and we will rise and fall not based on my life or your life, but on the life we can have together. The forest of the trees bearing the fruit of the Spirit. The forest. The whole orchard. This is spiritual growth. If you were ever taught or just picked up along the way the idea that Christianity is a one-time decision where you give your heart to Jesus and then you're all set, I need to shatter that teaching right here and right now. If you were here for our last series, you already know this. The whole project of God's, the sending of Jesus to live 3 decades on this earth and then to have his ministry of preaching and healing and miracles for a few years before being wrongfully executed and resurrected 3 days later was not so that humans could one day decide they believe in him and then stay messy. It was not so that they could stay unbothered by all what he said and did. The purpose of all that Jesus did was to transform you and me. That was the purpose of all that. Not a sign up a membership list. The purpose of all that Jesus did was to transform you and me. I think that's something to remember on Christmas Day and on Easter Day and all the days in between. Not that we would simply come to believe the right things, but that we would be changed. Changed to look more like Jesus, and this looking like Jesus is a lifelong process that breaks down to one day at a time, morning by morning, right? Morning by morning by morning. That first yes he said to Jesus was important. You know what happened? The angels rejoiced in heaven when you said that first yes. So I'm not dismissing that. But all this talk about unity in the spite of difference and trying to be a community living together and the messy middle will rise or fall based on the daily yes we give to Jesus, the daily yes we give to Jesus, not by that one-time yes. Listen to this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Paul makes it sound so simple. Just crucify our sinful passions and desires and live by the Spirit. Thank you, Paul. How do we do that? There's an episode of The Simpsons where Homer brings home this enormous 10-foot-long sub sandwich, and it's too much for him to eat before it starts going bad, even though he's been eating it for days. So into the trash it goes. But Marge keeps catching him still eating from it. He keeps pulling it out of the garbage to eat it because it did taste so good before and it was free. And even though it's making him sick, he keeps going back. Even to the point where eating the sandwich has made him so sick he can't go to the amusement park with his kids and he yells, "This is all your fault," at the moldy remains of the sandwich as he tosses it back into the trash, which he promptly picks up and cuddles it and says, "Aw, how could I stay mad at you?" Welcome to my brain. This is the first and best image I could think of to illustrate this point. I haven't seen that show in 20 years. So to pay attention when it comes to I genuinely believe that the Spirit gave us this illustration. Yeah, okay. I'm sure Matt Groening would be thrilled to hear that his work has returned because of the Holy Spirit. But our flesh, the things that come so naturally to us, the rage, the envy, the lust for power, the lust for people, the selfish ambition, the stinginess, man, that's that old sandwich in the trash, and we keep going back at it. It's what we know. It's how we're used to operating. It's comfortable. It tasted good for a long time. You love Jesus. You pray. You're so grateful to God for what he's done in your life. And where there are areas that you keep slipping back to in these comfortable ways, when we're tight-fisted with our love and our money, when the jealousy flares up, when we're feeling sad and about something else and rage out at a kid or a spouse, when we unleash a torrent of insults at someone online, when we look at someone who is suffering and feel zero compassion for them, or worse, think maybe they deserve it, when we say, "I know it's not really right, but I'm just going to do it because I could use the extra money." That's how we see so much ungodly behavior in people who love God. We haven't fully put to death our sinful passions and desires. We keep pulling that old disgusting sandwich back out of the trash. Look, as Homer found out, that old sandwich is always going to be calling your name. It's always going to be calling your name. Even though it makes us sick, and even though it turns us into something we don't want to be, we will often be tempted to go back to that comfortable place where we remember how good it once tasted. It's familiar. But walking by the Spirit means listening to the voice that says, "You don't need that. It's hurting you. It hurts the people you love." By the Spirit, we can see the truth. If we pay attention to the voice of the Spirit, we can see that sandwich is rotting and is poisoning us. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can turn away from that and turn towards the feast that Jesus has prepared for us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. They're not only fruit we bear, they're fruit we get to experience in God too, because they are the characteristics of Jesus Christ himself. This is what God is like. This is walking by the Spirit. Some days this feels easy. Other days it's going to be hard. You know what makes it harder? Exhaustion, stress, busyness. When we backburner time with God because we know he'll be there down the road when we have time. And then same thing tomorrow, same thing next day, same thing next year. Or you know what? The trash sandwich is right back in your hands. That's a strange metaphor, I know. I hope that it leaves your head soon. But some may think I'm being a little bit heretical there. I have a feeling you're going to remember it. When by the murmur of the Holy Spirit in your ear, that's trash. Right? Leave it be. I got so much more for you. Every day, turn and look to see the feast that God has for us instead. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. This isn't a kumbaya kind of love, and it's not a West Michigan nice kind of love. I'll smile and tolerate you kind of love. This is true, actual enemy and neighbor love in the way of Jesus. And we can't do it on our own. We can't love like Jesus on our own. With an arm wrapped around that old decaying sandwich of our own sinful. Imagine this church is full of people bearing the fruit of the Spirit together, and the testimony that would be to a world that is sick to death of biting and devouring and loveless faith. If you're candidate one, it might be tempting to think, well, my work is done. And if your candidate lost, it will be tempting to say, all is lost, and wring your hands, there's nothing to be done. Church, we have one task now, and that's faith expressing itself in love by the Holy Spirit empowering us to toss that rotting sandwich and its bad fruit so we can be the orchard of good fruit that the world can see God on display. Father, we do thank you for not having to live by a list of rules. We thank you that we just need to love each other. We live our lives in faith in a loving way. That's our job. Every day, when we wake up, when we go to bed, that's our job. So help us through the power of the Holy Spirit, show the world Jesus by the fruit that we bear. In the name of the risen Savior, we pray. Amen.